Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with all of their questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm your host, Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 5 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/loveandrelationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. Let's dig into today's topic. The Love and Relationships podcast has gotten a whole lot of new listeners over the past couple years. So we're taking some time to review and refresh some of your favorite episodes. Whether this is your first time to listen or just a refresher, I want you to sit back and enjoy some of these must-listen-to episodes from the Love and Relationships podcast. Today on the podcast, I'm really excited to introduce you to a couple I met recently named Tracy and Justin. It's good to have you guys.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
And Tracy, is it true you have a birthday coming up?
I did. It was last Tuesday. So yes.
So this is kind of your birthday gift to us and to yourself.
Yes, completely.
So tell us a little bit about each of you. I'd love to hear how you met and maybe how long you've been married, just kind of a brief summary about your relationship.
Oh, so we actually met in high school. We were, I guess, semi-friends, just kind of ran with the same crowd. We're in a pretty small town, and so just kind of knew all the same people. And so friendly all the way through high school and college, and then just kind of re-met again later on in college. I was in grad school. And even how we started dating is a little bit, you know, not Lifetime movie. but like he kind of asked me out on a date, and then that date never happened. And then we ended up just kind of hanging out, and it moved into, we just kept hanging out. So we dated for 7 years before we got married, and we've been married for 11 years.
Okay. Wow. 7 years before you got married. And does that count the like friendlationship stuff?
Does not. Okay. No, we like legitimately dated for 7 years. So in total, we've been together for 18, but yeah, I always joke that we wanted to be real sure.
Yeah.
I'll just wanted to make sure.
Okay. Tell me about what kind of drew you to each other in the early stages of your relationship. Justin, we'll start with you.
So Tracy, the thing that drew me to her was her confidence level. She was very, very confident then. We told some friends the other evening, like when she walked into a room, not only was she beautiful, but you could just tell like she didn't demand like attention, but she was that person that received attention in a good way, but very, very confident, just held her head up high. And I just was very, very attracted to that. And she's just a very, very beautiful individual. The pure fact, the confidence was just like, wow, just awestruck in a way.
Hmm. Just out of curiosity, do you consider yourself a confident person?
Not so much. No, I would say I'm middle of the road.
I think it depends with him when he wants something bad enough and feels strongly about it. Like, he's the most confident person I know. But if it's something he is not 100% knowledgeable on, it's like he's 0% in that. Like, he needs to be, for instance, we had to date for 7 years. He needs to be 100% sure that this is going to be okay.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What was something that drew you to him?
It's funny because when he came into my life at that point, I had gotten out of a pretty serious relationship and it kind of rocked my world a little bit. And I was like, I need a little bit of me time. I'm just going to hang out and date and have fun. And I always joke that he came into my life and just like never went away. Like, he actually came and sat down on a date I was on with somebody else, like sat at our table. And I think it was the way he pursued me. It just made me, it was the first time in my life where I feel like somebody was like out to fully make me.
Yeah. Do you feel like you were being deliberate to do that, Justin, or did it just kind of happen because you were so drawn to her?
I think it just happened. Like, I think that it was like naturally just like, yeah, just a natural attraction that, yeah, I think it just happened.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. So the vibe I'm getting so far is that Justin is a little bit more laid back and maybe a little more passive and go with the flow. There's people who make things happen, and then there's people who just kind of allow life to happen and not, you know, feel like they have to control everything or direct everything. And I'm getting the vibe that Justin is a little bit more on the laid back side, reactive, a little bit more passive. Is that, would you say that's accurate overall?
100%. Yes.
Okay, good to know. Moving into now, what would you say is the conflict, the tension, the problem that keeps coming up again and again? Because every couple tends to have some sort of a pattern of interaction, something that they tend to argue about over and over and over again. It's the same thing. Do you have something that you feel has been coming up lately? And if so, talk us through it.
Yeah, I think that for us, most of the time, it's the lack of pursuing Tracy on my part, just falling short, not showing, not expressing, not giving, you know, just not pouring into her, if that makes sense. Does that make sense, Tracy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just the pursue is either not there or just lacking tremendously. And I think...
But is that what you really think? Or is that what...
That's what our arguments are about, I would say.
Okay.
Like, why haven't you done... Like, why haven't we gone on a date? You know, something will come up and it'll revolve. No.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, when has that ever come out of my mouth?
Okay, well, what do you think?
I think that recently, so we went 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, our lives got turned upside down, from a mixture of, situational things. And it kind of threw us into a tailwind. It had to do with business stuff, financial stuff. And I feel like Justin at that point in time just kind of like went into a hole, felt like a failure. We both had to take on a lot of different roles that we didn't picture ourselves being in at that time, just to kind of get our family back on our feet. And I'm fine with that, but it was, our marriage was out of the picture. It was all the other things. And so for 2 years, like literally 2 years, there was no physical touch, emotional being, like there was nothing. And that was the period of time where I was like, we need to go to marriage counseling. We need to talk. We need to do things. And I felt like I clawed tooth and nail to try and get our marriage back to the top, but I was the only one doing it for 2 years. And then I just kind of gave up at that point, to the point that I sincerely wanted a divorce, because I was like, I don't know what else to do. I don't want my kids growing up to see that this is a marriage. Like, I feel, I don't know. I have expectations for a marriage because I want for us and for our children, which may be fair, maybe not fair. But I feel like I tried everything that I knew how to do. And I just kind of gave up at that point and was like, we just have to either move forward or end this and walk away.
When you tried to do different things, so basically a 2 year season of pretty significant disconnect, because finances and life kind of got put on the front burner, marriage and intimacy on the back burner. And you start sensing that disconnect and that distance, Tracy, and you start figuring out, what does it look like to make this go away? How do we connect? How do we go back to intimacy? You start doing things like maybe having conversations, or maybe initiating sex, for example, or, I mean, what are some of the things that you felt like you did to try to close that gap?
At first, initiating physical intimacy, trying to like get together and do dates. So I would organize a babysitter or something the other. I would really try to do something, like anything I knew that would be special. Or I took on a lot of roles, and I had always worked full time, and so we did a lot of splitting of the roles. But I kind of like came in to take some more load off of his plate. So I'm like, okay, maybe if he relaxed a little bit, or he didn't have to worry about this, I could, where I started, you know, working at like 5 a.m. So that I would be able to do all the afternoon things. And then from that point, it was like, okay, maybe if I just stop talking altogether, maybe this will happen. Maybe if I just retreat in, and maybe if I pull away, he'll notice something is wrong. We started seeing a marriage counselor at that time. And that didn't work out well. I read every book I knew how to read. I prayed. I did everything. But yeah, I reached out to a community, and that's kind of the one thing. I was pretty checked out, and I opened up to my women's Bible study about it. And I had a woman who spoke some hard truth into me and started teaching me about like the sacrificial love of Jesus, and how that's not like how we feel like when sacrificial love is supposed to feel like a Hallmark movie, and it's not, and it's sometimes ugly, and we lay ourselves down, and it wasn't my marriage, but it's God's marriage. And that was a total shift in thinking for me. And so I started praying for a softness of my heart, because I think overall I was trying to do things to get him to change.
Yeah.
And so when I did that, things shifted in our marriage a little bit.
Okay.
And started to get a little bit better.
Okay. So Justin, what's your perspective on that season of life? Like, if it wasn't for Tracy telling you, here's what I think is going on in our marriage, what would your perspective about it be?
As I look back, I was blind to most of it. I think it was a matter of, if this makes sense, a matter of just survival, you know, like, how do we get through this? What does tomorrow bring? And I'll take care of that when I wake up, you know. What do we need next week? You know, I'll take care of that when we get there. It was always like a day-to-day survival mode in a way. So my perspective, I guess, had she not said anything about it, yeah, I would have been utterly blind to it. And I think a lot of times about, had she not, I don't know where I'd be right now.
Would you say that you were feeling content with the relationship during that time, or you just even weren't actually thinking much about it?
Probably more not even thinking much about it. Yeah. I guess more concerned about finances. Not that we have a lot, you know, just being able to provide. I was more concerned about that.
Yeah.
Opposed to the, I guess, the nucleus of it all, which is our marriage.
Yeah. What would you say, Justin, is your biggest fear with regard to your life or your marriage?
I think it's letting people down, you know, letting Tracy down, or not being able to provide something, whatever that might be, but failing. Yeah, failing, I think, is a good word.
How about you, Tracy? What would you say is your biggest fear?
What, in life or marriage?
Yeah, either or, depending on which one comes to the surface.
No, it's probably the same thing, to be honest, now that I'm thinking about it. Not being enough.
So when you feel like he's pulling away, something inside of you feels like you're not enough for him. You're not exciting anymore. You're not that woman that he was so attracted to and drawn to in the beginning. And it feels like you're not enough anymore. And then when you bring up the things that you need to change and where you want to grow and how you feel like things need to start to shift in your marriage, Justin starts wondering, man, I'm letting her down. I'm failing. And you both kind of have some sort of reaction to that. When you feel like you're failing, Justin, what do you do? What's your default response?
I process things internally. I don't really become vocal at all. And I go away. Like, you know, I retreat.
So you basically shut down when you feel like you're not doing what you need to do, when you're feeling like you're failing. Your default is to just shut down. Even if she's saying, Justin, I need you to engage more. I need you to talk more. I need you to communicate better. I need you to show me love. I need you to take me on a date. Your brain is like, okay, I'm processing this as failure, 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 failure. And my default then is to shut down, even though it's actually the opposite of what is being asked of you. Your default is just to kind of shut down. What's your default, Tracy, when you feel like there's a disconnect? You're not enough. You're questioning your value to him. You're questioning his love for you. What's your default reaction?
My first is to want to talk about it and figure it out. I am pretty big on communication and the fact that I feel like there's so many conflicts in life that are misunderstood, right? Like somebody said something wrong or did something wrong. And so I like to put everything out on the table. Like, this is exactly what I'm feeling. And so trying to work through it to figure it out. But when I would do that with Justin, when I do that with Justin at all, the first response I get from him is almost like a defensiveness. And I can't seem to get anything right. It's always like, I have said something wrong or did something wrong. And so then I just back up and I'm like, what's even the point?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I will fight tooth and nail for what I believe in. But if I'm not getting that back from him, if he's, you know, it's one thing I was talking to him the other day, and I'm like, I've literally told you that I do not feel like he loves me. I don't, because I just see zero action in it. I see the joy and the good times in our marriage I see are because it's easy for him. It's an easy time for him. And like, I am tolerated, or he smiles and he's in the marriage with me because it's an easy time. But if there's something, if I bring up something about my feelings or that's not 100% easy, I'm now a burden or a nuisance. And so you can only talk about that so much before, when you're not getting anything back from that, it's almost defeating. And like, I don't know, I told him the other day, I was like, if you were to come to me and say that you truly feel like that I don't love you, like, I would drop to my knees and be heartbroken and like, oh my, no, that's not the case. You know, I do love you. What can we do? But if I've said that to him, there's never been one time where he's told me that. Like, his responses have never been, I do love you. Let me work on that. It's always like, well, you do this. And when I say this, you do this. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, never mind. you know?
Right, right.
Because I don't want to argue about it.
Yeah. So here's part of what's happening in this cycle. You're both harboring things that are not true in your mind that are fueling your responses, okay? So when you approach Justin and say, I want to work on this. I need you to do this differently. Why didn't you do this? I want you to do this better. I think we need to go on more date nights. The lie that you're believing, Justin, is I'm failing her. She doesn't think I'm good enough. She's pointing out my faults and making me feel small. And so if that's the lie that you're believing, of course your reaction is going to be, I got to defend myself. I have to prove to her that what she's saying isn't true and I'm not doing those things. I have to show her that I'm not a failure. And so all of a sudden now, instead of receiving what she's saying, you're giving it back. Like, no, I didn't do this. Or we just went on a date last week. Or we had sex yesterday. And you're just going to start being defensive and showing her, well, look how hard I've been working. And you're trying to fix something, which is the belief that she doesn't feel like you're good enough, or she doesn't think you're good enough, or she's not happy with you. You're trying to fix it by being defensive. But the truth is, Tracy loves me, and she's bringing this up because she wants us to have a better relationship. This is about our marriage being better, not about me not being good enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. And I feel like I've started kind of rethinking that, you know, that approach that I typically would have had. But yes, that does make perfect sense.
And then Tracy is feeling like she's a burden. I'm a nuisance. I'm not good enough. I'm just nagging at him. And he's just like pulling away because he doesn't like me or love me. And when that's the truth you're telling yourself, you're going to feel A, desperate to fix things. I got to fix this. I got to fix this. I got to fix this. I got to figure out how to get him to like me. I got to figure out how to make this better. And then, like you said, you're just going to eventually shut down. Like, I can't do this anymore. But the truth is, he does love me. He is lacking certain skill sets to show me that love. And that's what we have to work on, building those skills. Rather than making it about you and whether you're valuable or lovable or good enough, you've got to make it about the skill sets that are lacking in the marriage and how do we work on these skills. You almost take that feeling that it's about you, both of you, and make it about this objective thing in front of you. It's about the marriage. It's about the skills we're lacking.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out.
You've probably seen Athletic Greens all over the internet right now because so many people are loving this product. And I'm so glad they're sponsoring the Love and Relationships podcast. So here's what it is. Athletic Greens is all of your nutritional needs in one scoop. You're getting 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, and probiotics to help start your day right. It's a special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all the things. Today we talked all about physical health, so it really works out that Athletic Greens is our sponsor for today. I've been taking one scoop each morning just to start my day off right, to know that I'm getting all of those vitamins and minerals that I need to support my physical health. The other great thing is because I travel so much, it comes with little travel packs that you can take with you to make it simple and easy to take your greens anywhere you go. They contain less than 1 gram of sugar. There's no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, and they taste great. And the whole thing costs you less than $3 a day. Guys, you're investing in your physical health, taking the vitamins and supplements you need each day. And I think the younger you start that process, the better. But don't just take my word for it. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Debra. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Debra to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. You almost take that feeling that it's about you, both of you, and make it about this objective thing in front of you. It's about the marriage. It's about the skills we're lacking. But here's the thing. I really believe that some of this stuff stems even deeper than our marriage. Okay? So I want to peer into your history for a minute, because we call these things attachment styles. And you probably heard that word before, but Tracy has an anxious attachment style. The second she feels like there's any type of distance, it's like fear. And you don't like it, and it's uncomfortable, and you have to fix it, because if you don't fix it, the relationship is just gonna fly away. It's on you to hold on, to do the work. And that's tiring. And Justin, you have a shut down attachment style, withdrawn, where you start feeling there's a problem. And your body kind of just pulls away, your emotions kind of shut down in order for you to be able to survive that scenario, because it's so painful and uncomfortable for you. The question is, why are you both like that? Where did that come from? You know, when I ask you about feeling like you're a burden or a nuisance, or you're not good enough, or you're not lovable, is there any time in your history, Tracy, that you can kind of point to feeling that?
It's pretty much been, it's how I grew up. My parents are great, great, great people. I don't blame them at all, because we're all just trying our best as parents. We screw up every day, but they provided financially amazingly. We had everything we ever wanted and needed and things like that. But there was zero acknowledgement of me from either of my parents, just that I was good. Or my dad had an alcohol issue growing up, and so it was a lot of over-punishing, neglect there. And my mom was very dismissive of any sort of conflict, and so she just kind of went away from the situation. And so, yeah, I mean, I spent a lot, and I feel like I've spent my entire life trying to do the right thing, trying to be as much of a help or be as much of anything I can be the best at everything I can be, so that I do get a little acknowledgement.
Yeah, that is really hard. I appreciate you sharing that, and I agree with you. When we look back, we are not looking back to heap shame on the people that have gone before us. We're looking back so that we can do things differently for the generation that's coming after us. And that's why it's important to look back. And here's what you need to realize, Tracy. There's a wound there of not feeling good enough, not feeling lovable, not getting the attention that you deserved, the value that you deserved as a child. You grew up in this chaotic atmosphere where other things trumped you. It was like the chaos, the situation, the peripheral stuff took all of the attention. And you were kind of one of the things on the back burner. You know, as long as you're quiet and don't make too much of a fuss, it'll be okay. Right? So you're working hard to just like be good and not make a big deal out of things, but you're not even getting acknowledgement for it. You're just doing it to keep things from exploding even more. And that is a wound. That's a sore spot for you, that feeling like you're not good enough, that need for someone to say, you are valuable, you are amazing, you are good. Everything you're doing is validated. There's a need for that. That's a sore spot for you. And when Justin pulls away or doesn't give you that affirmation that you need or doesn't put effort and initiative into the marriage, he is pushing on that sore spot even more than he realizes and even more than you realize.
There was a point, I think, that broke me with him. And it was right at the beginning of all of this chaos in our life, like our actual situation of our life. But he was wanting to shift gears kind of with the business and with their life, like in general. I mean, just completely doing a 180. With everything. And he's sat, you know, and I fought against it for a while. I was like, I don't think this is a good idea. But we talked about it. And I was like, okay, you know, if this is where you want to lead us, I'll follow you there. And I remember sitting at our dining room table and he looked at me in the eyes. He said, when I get this taken care of, then I can focus on you. And it was the biggest heartbreak. And I need to let that go, but I have not been able to let that go because it's still going on. Like, I still feel like it's when I can do this, then I can focus on you. Well, now I got to focus on this and then I can focus on you. And it's, I'm very aware of this problem in my life. And it's kind of funny that he said that the thing that drew me to him was my confidence, right? Naturally, I don't have that. Naturally, I am an introvert. I'm fearful of all the things, but I didn't like that about myself. And so I was like, I am going to be different. And I fake it majorly. And because I saw that those kind of people attracted different sort of attitudes. And I love people. I love being around people. I love that atmosphere of just community. And so if I am completely withdrawn, that's not going to be my lifestyle. And so I just feel like it's funny that one thing that drew him to me was the one thing that I was like forcing myself to do. I think I view the way I grew up in a way that I do not want my life to be. And so I try to do the exact opposite. I want to communicate. I want to talk. I want there to be no misunderstandings. I want everybody to know how I truly feel so that, you know, people don't go through life with thinking that I'm feeling a certain way when I'm not, if that makes sense. I'm hyper aware of it because of how it was when I was younger.
Yeah, totally. And I think even the act of feeling like you've been put on the back burner is a trigger. Because you've been put on the back burner your whole life in a way that you never should have been. You know, when you grow up in a family where there's an alcoholic, it messes the dynamic of the family because that becomes the focus, even if no one talks about it. It's like a vortex sucking everybody's energy and attention, but nobody talks about it. And you naturally get defaulted to the back burner when you don't deserve to be. You know, in childhood, you should feel like you're important. Your value comes from the way that people interact with you, your parents and what they give you and all of that stuff is getting developed at such a young age. Justin, when you hear that, does that give you a little insight into like the big reactions that Tracy has?
Yes. I've seen the dots connected before in that, you know, what she was saying, but yes, it does give me a very good, not say completely clear, but a clear insight as to things that I do or things that I don't do, the way I react and the way I respond to her, and what that output is on her side. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because you're pushing on buttons that already existed, but it's up to you to recognize those buttons and understand your role in even God allowing you to be an instrument of healing in her life, in how you interact and engage with her. Not that you can heal her, but you can be used as an instrument to heal. And that's an honor, a great honor. And part of the honor and privilege of marriage is that God's like, okay, Justin, I am trusting you with this wounded child of mine. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to be used to bring my healing into her life and help her through this journey, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, back to the question of, you know, as far as like communication, I think that that's one of the biggest things when I communicate, or the way I communicate, for whatever reason, you know, it pushes those buttons. And I just want to learn how to better express myself in a way that doesn't, I don't want to dance around it, you know, at all, but I want to be able to talk to her, you know, openly, honestly, and not have to worry or wonder about, am I about to say something that is going to cause a negative reaction, you know, or a conflict?
I feel like with that, though, when we sit down and have a conversation, I need to deal with the things that are still hurting right now. Like, I need, you know, there's an underlying issue for all of this stuff. Like, the communication part and the things that, like, we argue about on a daily basis or whatever are stemming for me from another place. And I just want to know that he wants to fix that. Or, like, you know, like, I can literally look at him and be like, I don't trust you in our marriage right now. I don't trust you with my heart. And I've kind of starting to build a wall there. Like, the more and more hurt, the more I'm very easy to, not very easy. It takes a whole lot for me to shut down. But when I shut down, I'm done. Like, I can make a decision to, this person is out of my life forever, you know? And I think that's one of the things I was talking to him about is, I don't want to get there with you, but I can feel this wall slowly getting up there. And I'm like screaming out to you, please don't let this happen. Like, I need you to come halfway with me because I know my personality and I don't want to get there with him. And so I'm trying to deal with that, the underlying issue. And he'll look at me and he's like, but if we just focus on the possible positivity that'll come if we just move forward. I'm like, okay, great. But I gotta deal with this first. I can't just be like, okay, none of that ever happened. Flip a switch, we're starting over.
Yeah.
I feel that's where our communication is. I was like, I want to go back here and fix that. I need for these things to change and be different before I can trust you to move forward. I can forgive and drop it in a heartbeat if I know that it's going to be, if there's trust there.
Yeah. I think the underlying issue there is, what you're probably asking for is ownership. Could you own that and just say, okay, here's what I'm doing wrong, and I apologize for it, and here's what we're going to do differently. Ownership, initiative. It's not just about moving forward quickly, pretending things didn't happen. Sometimes you have to go backwards so that you can move forward. And I think ownership is the most magical, powerful tool in a relationship, but very difficult because people don't want to take ownership because it makes them feel like a failure when we process it the wrong way. The enemy comes in and says, don't take ownership. You didn't do that. You're better than that. Don't let her think that about you. But that's not the voice of God. God's voice says, go back and be humble. You know, it, with humility, see what you've done and take ownership of it. There's a strength in that humility that says, okay, I see where that was interpreted that way. I'm taking ownership of it. Yes, I did that. I maybe you didn't mean to do it. Maybe it wasn't your intention. Maybe that's not what you were thinking, but that's, I see how it was received in that way. I'm taking ownership. And here's what we're going to do differently. So switching gears a little to Justin, you know, we talked about your tendency to shut down, your feeling like you're failing and that you're letting people down. Where do you think that comes from for you? And do you feel like there's anywhere in your history where you had some of those feelings?
I think as far as failing and, you know, letting people down, I think of like right now, like Tracy and our two boys, you know, if I stop doing what I feel like I'm supposed to provide, you know, monetarily, that's going to take away from, if I stop and do, you know, the homework of connecting on a communication level with Tracy or sitting out with the boys, like my mind says, you can't stop working. You have to continue to work and provide. And so I've got some misguided goals, I think, if that makes sense. And I've focused a lot of my attention, I would say, for the better part of six or so years of my time spent awake on a career, on material things.
Well, where do you think that comes from? Let's dig a little bit deeper. When you look at kind of your developing years, those early years of your life, where do you think you got that view that you've got to work hard as part of what makes you worthy?
I probably when I was 12 or so, I can go back, you know, 12 or 11. And that's when I started working. Like it was not to say working, but I worked with, you know, a family, you know, my like a small business. And that's what I did. You know, my brother did that. My cousins did that. As 11, 12, 13 year old boys and girls, we started working. And that was, I think it was mostly a way to provide for the entire family. I mean, we, not to say we were poor, but, you know, everything that we had, we, in a way, you know, we worked for. And so if we were able to do more work, it helped our family out. And so growing up, that's, I mean, that's what I remember, is going to work and enjoying that, you know, because we were paid, you know, we had things, you know, we could go and go to the movies, or we could go and see these things that may not have been as achievable had my brother and I not been there to help my dad, or, you know, whoever that we were working with at that time.
So you came from a family culture where you have to work. That's where your value comes from. Like, what do you have to give and provide the family? What's your role in your input? What are you bringing in? And was there much of a emphasis on emotional connection?
No. I say no in a bit, like with an exclamation point, because I cannot, when I look around at like Tracy and the way she talks, I look around at other friends and the way they discuss their upbringing. I'm like, I don't know any of that stuff. Like, I cannot say, oh yeah, I remember that instance in my life, because I don't. So that's like a no with an exclamation point.
Such as what? Give me an example.
You know, I guess receiving of like birthday gifts and things like that. I hear friends talk about instances. I remember when I got this from my parent or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I got that from my parents, but I did not have the same connection with that scenario. So, you know, a bicycle, that was something like, oh yeah, remember you worked really hard. Now we were able to provide a bicycle.
Right.
The other side of it, hey, I got that bicycle. It was red, BMX, with, you know, the pegs on the front. Like, yeah, it was a bike to me.
Yeah. There was no emotional connection to the bike because it was just, you earned it, you paid for it, you got it. It wasn't like, my parents made such a big deal and it was so special and I got all kinds of hugs and kisses and, you know, wow, you're such a special young man and we got you this because you've earned it. And well, what about just exchanges of affection, like words, like, you are working so hard and we are so proud of you and we're so thankful that you're part of this family. You're nodding your head no.
Yeah, those words were not expressed.
I think it's really powerful to note that you're getting emotional at that observation. What's going on inside of you that is causing that reaction?
I think it's the reaction that I feel, the emotions I feel is like just disconnected, you know, like I see this same like scenario with my friends, you know, I'm a whole lot more disconnected with my friends than my friends are with me, if that makes sense. There's not a lot of try on my side. There's a lot of give. There's a lot of try on their end. The reception on my end is, you know, I got to mow, you know, I don't have to mow right now. You know, I come up with excuses to keep myself from having to like jump in and, you know, be with the boys, you know, so that the emotion is just, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember that. You know, I don't recall that. And it makes me wonder, like, it really makes me wonder about the what ifs. If that was expressed, then what would now be like?
Yeah. And I think part of that emotional response too is recognizing there's a void there that you did need. You know, I think sometimes we have to give our childhood self a little credit. I mean, if you think about it, Justin, there's a little 12-year-old boy inside of you to this day who is just working really hard because that's all he knows how to do to be valuable in this world. And my therapist self and my human self has a whole lot of compassion for that little boy because nobody taught him any better. Like, how are you supposed to learn that? Where are you supposed to get that information? Where are you supposed to get those skills? And you work with what you've got, which is a hard work ethic and trying to show my value and my role by providing. But as important as it is to go back and heal and ask what if, it's very important to do that. And I would challenge you both to take a very deliberate season to go back to some of those childhood wounds and begin to deal with them and heal them. I really would challenge you, because if that wound is so big, imagine it like a black and blue mark. Every time your spouse gets near it, it's going to cause you more pain and a reaction, whether or not they deserve 100% of it. I mean, sure, they did something that they shouldn't have done, but the response is coming out of past pain, and we need to deal with that first. And instead of asking, what if, what if, what if, what if, we've got to ask that question, but eventually we got to ask, what now? Now that I know all this information, now that I see some of the voids and the deficits and the needs and the hurts, what now? What am I going to do with them now? How am I going to learn the things that I didn't learn? How am I going to move forward and allow this to inform what I do in the future rather than keep me paralyzed and stuck and hold me back? How do I take that 12-year-old boy and begin to teach him new skills? I mean, Tracy, I hate to put it this way, but there is a 12-year-old boy inside of Justin that is just trying to figure this out. And you need to have some compassion for that 12-year-old boy, just like he needs to have compassion for that young woman, that young girl that was dealing with all of that stuff as well. Like we have to take ownership of our present for sure. But it's much easier to take ownership of our present wherein we're in the company of someone who has compassion for our past. So as you have compassion for his past, it's going to change the way that you engage with him. It's going to change the wording that you use to talk to him. And your heart is going to show not just frustration, but listen, I love you so much. And I want our marriage to be a safe haven. I want it to be a safe place for you too. The compassion is going to lead the way and even change the tone of what we need and ask of each other in the present, you know?
Well, can I ask you a question on that part then? Because like that rings so true to me, and I have zero problem doing that and humbling myself. But my question is, because I feel like we've kind of tried that. And I think where I get confused is, what if I do all that and he doesn't do his part? And I'm just getting stomped on emotionally. Does that make sense? Like, if I'm having compassion towards him and he just takes it and runs with it.
Yeah.
But doesn't do the other side of things. Like, where is my limit for being emptied and not being filled back up?
That's when I think we need to go back to what I said in the beginning about what we're believing about his lack of initiative in that moment. Is it genuinely he doesn't care about you, he hates this family, and you guys are not important to him? Or are we facing a block and a deficit in skill sets, a deficit in his ability to share what's inside of him, a deficit in his ability to find the words to take ownership of, a deficit in emotional maturity to even handle what you're saying? Because if it's a deficit, we're going to treat that differently than if it's just rebellion. You know what I mean? And I don't know about you, Tracy, but I do get the vibe that it is a deficit. Like, we are going to have to engage in a season of learning what it looks like to activate all of those emotional things, the emotional health, the emotional IQ, the emotional maturity. This is something that, even though he's a grown man, Justin, this is something that you're going to have to begin to learn. What does it look like for me to learn how to communicate, to learn how to understand what's going on inside of me, how to express my feelings and my needs, how to tell somebody and communicate what I feel inside of me? And this is going to be a journey for you. So Justin, it's not about I want to do better. Of course you want to do better. But you've got to have a plan or things aren't going to change. Not just I want to do better, I love you, I'm going to do my best. No, it's not just I'm going to do my best. That's like saying, let's just say, Justin, you wanted to become an Olympian tomorrow. And you're like, I really want this. I'm going to do my best. There's a good chance you're not going to become an Olympian tomorrow, right? Unless you have a plan and you start practicing and learning and honing your skills and figuring out what that looks like so that you have the skills, the muscles, the strength you need to make it happen. Just like you did as a kid. You figured out how to start a business, how to buy the supplies you needed, how to get the job done. You had to learn that process. This is the same type of thing. If you actually want to change, it's more than just wanting it. Wanting it is the first step. But now what? You know? And so this is where I think follow-up counseling for each of you as individuals and then you together as a couple is going to be really powerful, because I have compassion for you, Justin, because I genuinely feel like it's not that you don't want to. You're just kind of stuck. You don't know how, you know? Like, this was not part of your childhood language. This muscle was never developed. And I think the infatuation early on in your relationship made it look like it was there, you know, because you were just, there was a lot of emotions running high and they just oozed out without you even having to try to express them. But 11 years into marriage, this is the norm, you know, this is the norm for everybody. And now it's a matter of, how do I bring this out? How do I learn to express what's going on inside of me? How do I cultivate that? So each of you has a role in this dance, and the dance wouldn't happen without one of you, you know? And the good news is, if you were married to somebody else, you would still have a dance. It would just be a different dance, but just as painful. Because we've all got our junk. We've all got our past. We've all got our hurts. We've all got our lack of skills, our deficits. And the question is, what now? You know, what now? So for Justin, that's going to take some work in emotional IQ and communication and healing from your past. For Tracy, it's going to look like dealing with some of that desperate need to feel loved and valuable and connected, and realize that there is such a thing as giving too much. And sometimes you've got to work on yourself and challenge the other person to work on their self, and also not believe the lies that you're not good enough, that he doesn't love you, that he doesn't care. And realize, like, there's a lack of skills here. And I am part of the solution. Justin is here to help you grow, and you're here to help him grow. You can't heal each other, but you can be used as instruments of healing in each other's lives. And when I look at your marriage, you guys, I tell you this with all sincerity, you have the potential of being a wonderful, incredible couple, because you both have hearts to do the work, hearts to change, hearts to try, a willingness. I mean, the fact that you're even on here tells me that there's something that here, both of you, even Justin, has that desire. It's just a matter of having someone to help guide you there. And I also think in those moments of intense frustration, sometimes you just have to step back and say, okay, what's really going on here? What is really going on here? What is really going on underneath the surface? Not just the superficial problem, but what are we each feeling deep down? What's really going on here? You know, why are you shutting down? Why are you feeling so desperate to connect? What is really going on here? Let's talk about it and make the time, make it a regular part of your marriage to connect, you know, not just counseling, but other times. You have the potential and the power to change the narrative for your children. And you will do that. I truly believe you have everything it takes to do that. I think you're already doing it. I think you're already on that process. I don't even think we're just starting at the beginning. You know, you guys are already on the journey, but it's kind of gotten hard and difficult, and you're in the middle of it, and it's like, oh gosh, I don't know if we can keep going. You can. You've already done some of the work, you know? And you're both beautiful people.
Thank you.
I don't even know what to say.
Closing thoughts, Tracy?
I think I'm just scared. I think I'm scared that we're going to leave this right now And I'm going to have some little like glimpse of hope, like, okay, here we go. It's going to be good. We're going to do this. And then it's just going to be a, we'll just get back into the routine of things, you know?
Well, you will. You will. That is what's going to happen. Tonight, you're probably going to have another argument tomorrow, this weekend. But that's when whatever is going on in the present doesn't define you. And you tell yourself, this isn't Justin trying to be a jerk. This isn't Justin hating me. This isn't Justin not interested in me. This is the deficit. And this is what we need to work on. The deficit is the problem, not Justin. You know? And when you come at him tomorrow and say, Justin, I really needed this from you. And he's going to remember, okay, listen, this isn't just Tracy being, putting me down. This is the deficit in our relationship. She wants things to be better. This is what can we do to make our marriage different? This is going to take practice. You're not going to become Olympians overnight, you know? So when it comes up again and again and again, don't panic. That's the norm. But if each time it gets just a tiny bit better, just a tiny bit better, the argument is a little bit shorter. Somebody takes ownership faster than they normally would. You approach each other with ears to listen. If something just gives a little bit each time, you're on the right track. You're going to fail. You're going to go back into the pattern sometimes. It's going to happen again. But this cycle is the exercise equipment. And each time we get into the cycle, that's when we're strengthening our muscles to do it a little bit differently, a little bit better, so that overall, we're talking about the next couple of months. By the end of the next few months, we see some progress based on what we've seen today. So don't be discouraged. You will go back into the dance, and you're probably going to have the dance for the rest of your life. You're just not going to dance as long. You're not going to dance as intensely. You're not going to dance as meanly, you know, and the dance is going to help you with intimacy rather than push you apart from each other. That's the goal.
I like that goal.
It's just a little bit out of time. We got to have healthy expectations, you know? But you two were such a pleasure to meet and work with. And like I said to you before, if you would like to follow up and do some more work, just reach out to me and we'll make it happen. I thank you for your vulnerability and your time and your courage to open up and share and even shed a few tears and just kind of begin not just being honest with yourself, but honest with all of us who are also on this journey. You know, I have to chuckle a little bit because I see some of the same patterns with me and my husband. The attachment, like we got to fix this. And then him responding as, you're putting me down. I feel like I'm going to shut down. And the same type of dance, have we mastered it? Absolutely not. But we've gotten so much better than when we started. And it's taken so much work, you know? And I think outside of that dance, you've got an incredible relationship. You're incredible people. It's just a matter of not letting that dance be what defines everything about your marriage, you know? There's so much more to you guys than that.
So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. If you're okay with it, I'd love to pray for you guys before we say goodbye.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus, I thank you for Justin and Tracy. I thank you, Lord, for the people that you've made them to be, the unique qualities and traits and strengths that they each have. I thank you that Justin is hardworking and doesn't give up and it's just so set on providing and caring for the people that you've placed in his life. And I just pray, God, that you would give him the skills that he needs to provide and care for the people in his life emotionally, that you would begin teaching him what it looks like to care for himself emotionally, and then for the people in his life, God. I pray that you would fill in the gaps of the things that maybe he didn't learn growing up and help him heal some of those wounds. And as he looks to the future, I pray for Tracy that you would just give her what she needs to feel loved and wanted and secure standing alone because of who you say she is, God. It doesn't matter what she's felt in her past. What you say about her is the most meaningful thing. I pray that she would hold on to the truth of who she is, even when she doesn't feel like it in the marriage, even when she feels triggered by Justin. God, I pray that you would remind her of her value standing alone and bring healing to her past, bring healing to her present. And I just also pray that you would fill her with hope that you are able to do things in a way that we can't. And so we're trusting you with both of them. We're trusting you with their marriage. We're trusting you that they're going to come up with a plan to do things differently, God. So we just ask your blessing over their marriage and their children and their family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank
you.
You know, after we finished recording, Tracy and I were just talking a little bit about the fact that she was just reading Are You Really Okay? She just started reading through it and got to the point of the genogram and was really challenged by that and realized that there's a lot of things about her family that she doesn't understand and doesn't know. And it just triggered a lot of good conversation with her mom and things to consider that she hadn't considered before. So I just want all of you who are listening to realize that for all of us, just like Justin and Tracy, we've got these emotional sore spots from our past, these things that feel really painful in the present. And many times they're actually rooted in wounds and hurts, failures, fears, insecurities from our past. We don't even realize why we're reacting the way we're reacting in the present until we take the time to go backward in order to move forward. And many times we need to do that in our relationships, in our marriage, but many times we need to do that standing alone. What are the wounds in your past that cause you to react the way that you do in relationships? How have the things you've experienced affected your attachment style, your identity, your need to be loved, valued, appreciated, your security? All of those things are building blocks in helping us understand who we are today and creating a healthy marriage. If you haven't had a chance to read Are You Really Okay?, I challenge you to take the time this year to do the work, because healthy people make healthy relationships. I'm with you. I'm rooting for you. I'm cheering you on, and you're in my prayers. Take care. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and spending your time with me today. If you're looking to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, I invite you to check out any of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay?, or Married Sex. You can find out more information about those books, as well as hundreds of articles and resources and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com. I love connecting with you, so please find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Falada and give me a shout out. If you have questions on your mind, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships. If you're loving what you're hearing on this show, friends, please be sure to follow on your podcast app and then leave us a rating and review, because it makes all the difference in getting the word out about this show. I'm Deborah Falada, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to chat with you again next week. Take care.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.